In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. James Hampton worked as a janitor at the federal government's General Service Administration in Washington, D.C., from the time he left the Army in 1946 until his death in 1964. He worked the 4 p.m. to midnight shift all of those years. Mr. Hampton never married or owned a home. He lived in a boarding house all of his adult life. What no one knew about St. James, the director of special projects for the State of Eternity, as Mr. Hampton called himself, was the special project that he worked on all alone every night for 14 years in a garage that he rented in a back alley. Usually he worked after midnight when his shift had ended. Mr. Hampton collected tin foil and aluminum foil, the kind found in packs of gum and cigarettes, and he scavenged other bits of scrap metal, light bulbs, old flower vases, things like that. These he fashioned into the most glorious throne and accompanying furniture, a throne fit for God himself. Mr. Hampton painstakingly fashioned a most intricately and uniquely decorated set of chairs, crowns, pulpits, and altars that are a masterpiece of folk art. He called it the throne of the third heaven of the nation's millennial General Assembly, or the throne of the third heaven for short. I was privileged to see the throne of the third heaven when it was on display at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. You can look at it online, and I even put a picture of it on my Facebook page. It is breathtaking to behold. The 180 pieces he handcrafted cover about 200 square feet. It's about 9 feet high at its tallest point. From a distance, and even up close, the glittering foil appears to be real silver and gold. It seems that James didn't literally expect God to occupy the throne he built. Mr. Hampton's dream, a dream he never realized, was to open a storefront church and have the throne of the third heaven as its centerpiece. We might consider Mr. Hampton to be a hopeless dreamer, or just painfully odd, or perhaps even somewhat psychologically off balance. He didn't have many human friendships, but he didn't care because he felt so close to God. The Lord alone was his constant companion. Building that throne was a labor of love and devotion for James. When we all get to heaven, if the throne there looks like the throne of the third heaven, I won't be surprised at all. Remembering the throne of the third heaven on this last Sunday of the church year got me to thinking about the various types of throne that are occupied by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It occurs to me that there are at least three thrones that Jesus has occupied and does occupy even now. The first throne I'm thinking of is the cross. The cross might not seem like much of a throne to us. We might prefer something that was actually covered in gold rather than something made of rough-hewn wood. When I think of the cross, I think of how it's described in that song, "The Old Rugged Cross," as the emblem of suffering and shame. But that's not what it was for Jesus, at least not as St. John the Evangelist tells the story. The cross is the throne from which King Jesus reigns. The cross is the place where our regal Christ was sacrificed, according to prophecy, and shed his royal blood for our salvation. On the cross, God the Father's unconditional love for us was revealed once and for all in Jesus' majestic redemptive act. Jesus loved us to death, his death, and he loves us back to life as well. Second throne I'm thinking of is King Jesus' throne in heaven. The Holy Scriptures tell us how Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after his glorious resurrection. In the Creed, we confess that he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. From that exalted throne, that seat of power at the Father's right hand, Jesus both intercedes with the Father for us on our behalf, pleading for mercy on us, and from there he intervenes in our lives through the machinations of the Holy Spirit. It may not always seem to us that we are receiving God's grace. It may seem sometimes that Jesus isn't directing anything at all in our world. Well, if our dog-eat-dog world is this bad, even with Jesus helping out, imagine how horrible it would be without his assistance. We must give King Jesus credit for knowing what is best for his subjects and knowing how much of a challenge we can take. Those challenges, in that way, he allows us to suffer because through that, we have a long-term growth in faith. The human heart is our third throne for King Jesus. One day, Jesus will descend once more from his heavenly throne to live and reign on earth with us. Again, as we say in the Creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. But even while we await that great consummation, our lives are not devoid of Christ's presence. The Lord alone is our constant companion. In this world, Jesus comes to us in word and sacrament. He dwells in all of us who have received the sacred bath we call holy baptism and the oft-repeated meal of bread and wine that we call the Holy Communion. As the people of God, as the people who have Jesus enthroned in our hearts, we live out our faith in service to others. We live out our faith by proclaiming the gospel truth that Jesus has laid on our hearts. I think of Mr. Hampton working alone in his garage all of those nights. What commitment he had to put 14 years into a project that a human being other than himself never saw until he died and his landlord took possession of the garage for back rent. What devotion he had to do such precise work with only God watching. He had great faith to believe that somehow God would use his efforts even when it seemed that all of his hard work was in vain. Surely Jesus reigned in that man's heart. I covet that kind of faith, that kind of commitment, that devotion. Couldn't we all use more of that? I think of those in our parish who are so committed to raising children or caring for elderly loved ones. They do these things as acts of love. I think of those among us who are so devoted to our congregation's music ministries and teaching ministries and administrative ministries and working with the property, all the other things that we do around the church. We thank God that he empowers our members to do those things. And we thank God for all the faithful people who strive to live out their lives and testify to Christ in so many ways in their daily lives. That's what it means for Jesus to be enthroned in our hearts. That's how we live when we recognize that Jesus is our King. Do you think that St. James, the director of special projects for the state of eternity, the one who built the throne of the third heaven, you think maybe he was a little bit crazy? We could use a pack more people crazy for the Lord like that. Mr. Hampson, or St. James, as I'll call him, God's made him worthy of that title, drew heavily on biblical images, especially from the book of the Revelation, in creating that throne of the third heaven. A lot of people find the revelation confusing, and yes, it certainly can be. But the revelation and all of God's revelations become clearer to us and more easily understood when we recognize the basic message of the revelation and the basic message of everything that God says to us, namely that Jesus is Lord. God is victorious. Christ is king, and he was king, and he will be the victorious king over all. St. James Hampton knew that, and he built Jesus a throne. If you know that, make Jesus a throne in your heart, and then go do whatever it is he tells you to do. St. James Hampton rejoiced in his work because the Lord is king, and we can rejoice in our work because the Lord is our king too. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.